Om Shri Sai Ram. Welcome to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Professor Jayalakshmi Gopinath, ma'am, it is a pleasure to have you here with us. In the Hindu spiritual tradition, among the 9 modes of devotion, one is Shravana, or listening to the glory of God. You, ma'am, have had a long association of almost 55 years with Bhagwan Shri Sathya Sai Baba. So our listeners who have tuned into Radio Sai today are in for a spiritual treat. Professor Jayalakshmi Gopinath is Principal, Warden and Head of the Department of English, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur Campus. But more importantly, she is perhaps one of the oldest devotees of Bhagwan. Ma'am, as you take a walk down memory lane, we would like you to open your golden casket of treasured experiences. Please tell our listeners a little first of your early life. How old were you when you came to Bhagwan? And how old was Bhagwan, physically I mean, when you came to him?
Thank you, Rajeshwari, for all that you've said. I was in my early teens when I came to the lotus feet. And it was, I suppose, late 1947. So we can gauge the age of Bhagwan. It was about 21 years, I think.
Yes.
Bhagwan should have been that.
Okay. Your tryst with God, did you sense it coming or did it happen unexpectedly? What brought you to Bhagwan?
Well, I cannot call it mere chance. It must have been divine design. When father had come preparatory to retirement to settle down in Bangalore, I was still studying, so I was with my parents. My father would go every day on walks, and there he met a person one day who told him about Bhagwan Baba and that he was residing in the house of Srimati Sakamma, the coffee magnate. Father himself, well, I suppose so, had certain occult powers. He could hypnotize, he could cure certain diseases, and ours was a very pious family. So father got interested, and then he said, well, let me know where he lives, give the address, we would like to go. That's how father, mother and I went to Srimati Sakama's house for the first time.
Did you feel at any time during your early childhood a kind of a seeking for God, which you think brought you to Bhagwan?
Yes, yes. It might seem very funny. As a little child, I had an idol of Sri Krishna, of clay. Somehow I would fondle it, I would take it to my bed, even when I slept. And mother, I suppose, didn't say anything. She sort of indulged me. And for a long time, that attachment to Krishna and the idol was there. Apart from that, our family itself was so very devoted, and they hosted the sadhus and sons in our house. So I suppose that must have affected me.
All these things together.
Yes, yes. Yes. To love God.
Yes. It fostered.
Yes,
a kind of,
to merely love him. Yes. Not ask him for this or that.
Yes.
And that is how when we saw Bhagwan Baba, well, I don't know, child. There was something that happened to me. It was totally subjective. A tremendous ecstasy. Mm-hmm. And my eyes filled with tears. Baba was very fragile at that time.
An instant recognition at that time?
Because, well, I did feel
the experience of ecstasy immediately,
yes,
on seeing him.
Immediately as I saw him. And when he looked at me, in that he threw a rose at me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was enough, you see. And he was very kind to my father. He took him aside and spoke to him. And I suppose that day sealed the bond between divinity and us. And throughout it has been that.
You must have visited Prashanthi Nilayam in the 50s and 60s several times.
Well,
what was Puttaparthi like in those days, ma'am?
Well, we were there during even the old Mandir times.
So what was it like, Puttaparthi?
Oh, the old Mandir then was a very, very small building of rough stone.
Mm-hmm.
And Bhagwan's residence itself was none too unenviable.
Okay.
And it was all wilderness, all around. And what Prashanta Nilayam is today, you cannot imagine what it was in those days.
What was Bhagwan's daily routine like in that glorious past?
In the old Mandir.
Because you have a direct witness to it.
Yes. In the old Mandir, there wasn't anything like direct routine. Baba is always manifested and every day it's novel.
Mm.
And early morning, of course, then at that time we didn't have Suprabhatam. We were just a handful of devotees, a very small place, the old Mandir. And as usual, the discipline, the men aside and the women aside, that is it. They would not
on
come
either
together.
Side, yes.
Yes, they would not come together that way. And early morning, as soon as we got up, well, I can't describe to you where most of us, when we were in a state of heightened bliss, which perhaps the Bhagavata, you see, relates about Sri Krishna and his devotees. I don't know. And it was so with me. And Baba would be up early.
And around what time?
Well, we would all be...
Yes,
around 5
we
would be up.
Oh.
And Baba would be there. No such thing like darshan.
Okay.
He would be out of his room. The room...
So everybody just spent time with Swami all
yes,
throughout the day.
Yes, he would be moving amidst us.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd all be standing. Standing and just looking at him enraptured.
Oh, yes.
That's what it was. And then he would play with us. And bhajan time he would sing with us. Many a time Bhagavan has sung along with me during bhajan times then. And the altar, of course, was on the platform. And any devotee could go clean it up and keep it in shape. And one little experience I can tell you of those days.
Yes.
We had come after we went to Srimati Sakamba's house many a time for darshan. Bhajans would be held there. Baba told my father, come to Puttaparthi. It was not Prashanti Nilayam then.
At that time, yes.
Puttaparthi. So once during my holidays, we thought we would make the first trip. And the three of us went. In those days, Bhagavan would be standing right at the portico of the Mandir to receive every devotee.
Each and every person.
Each and every
whatever
devotee.
Time they came.
Whatever time. And then he received us. We were so happy. This experience of mine...
Was that your first visit, ma'am?
At the very first visit. And we didn't know that at that time, Baba would give interview to devotees. We were not aware of it. So it was time for us to leave after a few days. And I didn't know. At that time, sort of I was motivated to clean the altar and then put the wicks in order and then cut it. And then if the oil wasn't there, to pour it. If I could confess, there was a curtain, you see, which was covering the altar from the rest of the place. And nobody could see.
Mm-hmm.
I would go and hug Shirdi Baba's idol. This is a secret. And I would feel so happy. And that day I didn't know my father and mother had been called for an interview. I didn't know that. Then I was cleaning the altar.
So you were oblivious of other things, what was happening in front of the curtain.
I didn't know, Rajeshwari, this was the thing. And as I was cleaning, some devotee came and said, because Baba calls me Jayama, that is not actually the way I was called by my parents.
But that's how he fondly refers to you all.
Yes. And they said, what is it? Your parents have gone for and didn't you go? I said, I don't know. By which time the door had been latched from inside. So something terrible sadness overcame me. I sat in a corner and I was sobbing my heart out. After a little time, I heard my father calling out to me, Jaya, Jaya, come, come, it's late. Come, let's go. Then I said, I shouldn't go out with a tear-stained face. I just lifted my hot, tear-stained face. The tears were just trickling down. And whom do I see in front of me? Bhagavan Baba. And he said, why are you crying? He said it so tenderly that afresh, the tears just came profusely. Then, what do you want? He asked me. At that time, you know, I needed nothing. I said, Swami, I want your photo. I'd speak to him in Kannada then. Then he looked at me with such tenderness, and then he said, you want a photo? If you put the photo in water, it gets dissolved. If you throw it into fire,
it gets burned
to ashes. If you tear it, it becomes fragments. Why do you want to have a photo? Keep me in your heart. Young as I was thrilled.
Yes.
And of course, afterwards, he materialized a small photograph and gave it to me. It is with me even today.
So that was your small private
interview. The very first gift that Baba gave me. And that was the first one.
What are your feelings about what Bhagwan was then and what he is now, outwardly at least?
He is the unchangeable one. It is just circumstances have changed.
Yes.
And the devotees now are coming in great
numbers. Yes.
And there are so many things that Baba has taken upon himself. There in the old mandir, it was entirely a personal contact between God
and
the devotee. It was just a state of absolute enchantment. That's what I could call it. And another thing which comes to my mind, we used to come to Puttaparthi. My mother had left for Delhi because my second sister was about to deliver. Father and I were at home. Father, you see, he also became crazy about Bhagavan. So one day he said, let us go to Puttaparthi. Oh, I was overjoyed. And then we came.
Where were you when you came to Puttaparthi? You were in Bangalore then?
I was in Bangalore. And we alighted. Again, Baba was at the portico. He took us inside. And there in front of the altar, Baba just stopped. So naturally, Father also stopped. I also stood there. Baba looked at me and said, sing. I used to be nervous to sing. So I did know. But Baba encouraged me and said, sing. And he liked certain songs which I was singing. So I started one song, and as I was singing, I was amazed. And there are few persons who had collected there. They were amazed to see that the garlands which were put on Shirdi Baba and our Baba, the life-size photographs.
Satya Baba.
Yes. They had garlands right from the top to the toe. First, Shirdi Baba's garlands started to sway, then it gained momentum. It swayed and swayed and swayed so forcibly that all the garlands snapped and fell down.
So this is while you were singing?
While I was singing. And my hair stood on end. Baba looked at me very meaningfully. And then he said, sing another song. So now, of course,
Which was the song, ma'am, which you sang?
He liked Purandaradas's kirtans and Mirabai's.
So that's what you were
singing? He would ask me to sing, and this was Mirabai's. And another song, he said, I started. And the garland on our Baba's picture, the same thing was repeated, swaying, swaying, and then gaining momentum. It snapped and fell down. Baba looked at me again very meaningfully. Then I wanted to stop. He said, sing. I sang a third song, and the garlands around the silver idol of Shirdi Baba, slowly they rolled down.
So it didn't snap this time?
No.
It just rolled down?
Just rolled down. And I suppose that was the end of that particular experience. And I knew Baba was very happy. And of course, as far as I was concerned, I was in the heaven of my delight.
Ma'am, by the way, I remember you telling us that you won the first prize in a music competition organized by Bhagwan in the old mandir. Tell us about it.
This was, you know, something impromptu. It came all of a sudden. Parents were to follow. I came first with some devotees. And right as I alighted, they told me a music competition is being conducted by Bhagavan Baba. Well, I thought it's all right. Then immediately one person came running to me and said, Swami is calling you. Mm-hmm. I'm always very nervous to sing in the presence of Bhagavan. I felt a sort of a quiver. Then as soon as he saw, the mandir was not like this then. It was a little different. It was not so polished. There weren't these embellishments.
So this is not in the old mandir?
No, this is in the new mandir.
Okay.
New mandir. Of course, the altar had the life-size pictures of Bhagavan. And there now, where is the chariot? There Bhagavan was sitting as a judge. And men and women, or boys and girls, whom he had asked to sing, had to go there, sit there, and sing through the mic. So after some had sung, both men and women, he called me. I was always quick when Baba called me to sing. Then he said, sit down, sing. And he named the songs.
Which were the songs?
This was again Meera Bhajans. I sang the song. And then there were a few more participants. At the end of it all, well, I never expected. Baba announced that I'd got the first prize. And even today I have it with me. It's a lovely silver cup and saucer, which is tinted with gold inside. And then when he gave it to me, he told me, Jayamma, drink milk out of this.
Ma'am, what did Bhagwan say to you all in those days about his life and mission? Did he say anything at that time?
Well, sometimes, yes, occasionally, if the circumstances sort of motivated Bhagwan to say these things.
So he did speak about his life.
Especially, I have seen his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
I think then he must have been about 105 years old.
When you saw him?
I've seen him. He used to come there occasionally to the old mandir. Then the new mandir wasn't there. Gaunt, very tall, gaunt. He had a personality of his own, even at that age, as if he's one of the chief persons in the village. Oh, it was a beautiful thing. He would come with a stick and somebody would help him, and they would put a chair in the outside enclosed, that longish type of enclosure where the altar was, and he would sit down waiting for his divine grandson. Swami would come so quickly from his room as he was rushing forth to meet this human grandfather. And he would go to him, clasp his hands, and I've seen that grandfather literally hugging him.
Oh, really?
It's a wonderful sight.
Bhagwan has said in, I think in some private discourses that his grandfather was the only person who really recognized his divinity.
Yes, that's what is said.
Yes.
And we could see this interaction that definitely was a divine bondage between the grandfather and the grandson. And in those days we used to have, even, you know, during Dasaras and Swami's birthday, procession of Swami in a flower-bedecked palanquin. We used to have that. And those days, Swami has given darshan of the avatars to so many devotees. Well, we ourselves have seen once, when the palanquin, you see, the people carried Swami, the devotees, and then the procession came back to the mandir, old mandir. And they kept the palanquin down, and Baba got off the palanquin, just shook his robe. I was a witness to it.
This was,
this was in the old mandir.
Old mandir.
And from his robe, just vibhuti, just fell off in flakes, to such a distance it spread that people started gathering it. And right on his forehead, there would be thick flakes of vibhuti then, if he came back from the procession. And he would just do this, and it would fall. And he would take the flowers, so many of these petals of these flowers, he would take it in both his hands and just throw
them.
They would get transformed into medallions. And my mother got one such medallion, very significant. My father's name was Keshav Vittal. He was called Vittal Rao. On one side is Bhagavan Baba. On the other side is Panduranga Vittal.
Okay. So then each medallion had a different deity on it?
Different deities.
Ma'am, tell us one of your most precious experiences that speaks of Bhagavan's glory. Any one of the really precious
ones. There are quite a few, Rajeshwari. I can just mention two. Sakamma, she was very devoted to Swami. She looked after Swami like her own son. He also loved her. Pure soul. But somehow it happened we do not know divine destiny or our own karmas come in the way. When Baba went to Madras to a devotee's house, where the wife was a great devotee, she was in trouble. At that time, of course, my father also was there, and Nagamani Amma of those days.
Yes.
She was a great devotee. And there was one Thiruvengadam Shetty, and there was Sakamma, and there was this gentleman, one Niladri Rao, in whose house Baba was residing then.
When he went there.
Of course, we did not seek out for the reason. We are all ignorant human beings. We are all vulnerable.
Yes.
And this Niladri Rao, this Sakamma and Thiruvengadam Shetty, somehow, I don't know what happened, they separated from the fold, Sai fold.
Including Sakamma.
Yes. She was a long-standing devotee. The ones who stuck at that time were my father and Nagamani Amma. Well, all this was over.
Mm-hmm.
When Nagamani Amma was still, of course, she always loved him. Even in the end, she came to me, came to Swami afterwards. Sakamma was, she had a lot of faith in my father. So she used to tell him, this mandir, small mandir, old mandir, poor Swami, so cramped up. You know, it was a crude stone building. Baba's room was so small, he didn't even have interconnection between his living room and the bathroom. No privacy for Baba. Mm-hmm. Even when he went from his room to the bathroom, he'll all be standing there.
Ooh.
It was a sad thing. So she said, why not we put in effort, collect some contribution, and build a good spacious mandir for Bhagwan. That is how it started.
So at that time, she was still in Swami's fold.
Yes, that's how it started. Father took it up, and some people seemed to have contributed. One among them at that time, and he was still a devotee, was this Thiruvengadam Shetty, a very rich person, Vaisya merchant.
Mm-hmm.
And all that was over, I'll cut it short. Then the new mandir was opened in 1950. 1952, my uncle, Dr. Prasanna Simha Rao, who was the chief surgeon in the Victoria Hospital, who had come to Swami when he had paralysis, he was a devotee. He and my aunt, we were all in Bangalore then, father had settled down there after retirement. So they said they would like to have Baba's darshan. My parents, well, at that time they said, well, they could go. And I said, I will go with them. So they took me with them. Oh, this was something. It's made an indelible mark in my mind. I can never forget it. The mandir was plain then, the new mandir. It didn't have all these curves and these embellishments and all that.
Yes.
Baba was standing at a portico. And you know the front veranda as it is?
That has remained.
Remained, but it wasn't done up so well. Mm-hmm. It was just cement.
Yes.
And Baba had come down. He was standing in that veranda. He gave an interview to my uncle and aunt. I was standing there. He didn't call me for the interview. Then there were some others. And devotees, you see, they were so happy that the new mandir had come up. So some of them expressed, as Bhagavan is standing as Swami, how beautiful this mandir is. And some devotees, you see, they may cast some aspersions. And they said that this mandir would not come up over 1 foot wall.
Yes.
Yeah, that's such arrogance. Yes, they said it.
Before the construction.
Yes. And then they said, Swami, how stupid and ignorant they are. What a beautiful mandir has come up. Swami made a wonderful declaration. The whole world should know about it, Rajeshwari. He was standing there. He became very solemn. And sometimes there was such a change between the Baba who would play with us and talk with us and the Baba who became absolutely divinity personified and sort of pulled himself to that majesty. So that look was on Swami and there was a far-off aloofness in his eyes. And then he said, let people talk. They do not know. I just have to clap my hands and a whole mandir will come up. Everything is in these hands. And that declaration he made so loudly, I suppose it went home to all of us. It sort of, made our hair stand on end. Just imagine. He doesn't need us.
Yes.
We think we are doing. He's getting it done by us to get us that fulfillment. That is all.
Yes, to give us the satisfaction that we have contributed.
Yes. And as he said this, he went on repeating it. I have everything. Everything is in my hands. And somehow he felt detached from the human beings, those of us who were standing there, and slowly walked off, climbed the steps and went to his room. Yes. This has made a tremendous impression upon me.
It's really a startling
Isn't it so?
Yes, ma'am.
That is it.
Once, many years ago, you were asked by Bhagwan to translate for an interview which Bhagwan gave to Mr. Howard Murfitt.
Ah, yes.
After you returned to Anantapur,
yes,
you shared with the students.
Yes.
And I was also a student then, so I remember this. You shared with the students some of the profound truths uttered by Bhagwan during the interview.
Yes.
Do you remember some of them, ma'am?
Oh, yes. That was another incident where the small interview room at that moment lost its contours. And it became something as vast as space because of the things that Swami said and he uttered. Mr. Murfitt asked this question. Swami, you had incarnated as Shirdi Baba, and now you are the reincarnation of that deity 18 years later. Swami, where were you during the short span of 18 years? Where was I?
18 years, ma'am. 8 years.
8 years.
Eight years.
Eight years. I'm sorry. 8 years.
Yes.
Then Swami said, I permeated the whole universe. There is no such single place for me. I was the whole universe. This he uttered again with such solemnity that again I staggered with this answer.